Phil Hendry.
Good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news talk and, well, it's not any of those. It's just a talk show. It's just a talk show, like any talk show. And we're here and we're talking. And we welcome you to listen in. And, yeah, a lot of times if you watch us, for instance, on Phil TV, and you're welcome to do that. Phil TV is at philhenryshow.com. You have to have a subscription, a BSP, to watch Phil TV. And I've heard it said, so I'm going to be watching you talking, right? So, yeah, this is going to be watching us performing as well. And you know, people will say, well, what is that? You know, so who cares? I said, I don't know, but I know that Gene Scott made a hell of a lot of money just sitting on his ass in a chair in front of a blackboard doing that. And people will say, who? And I'll say, it doesn't matter. He made a lot of money.
Well, Gene Scott was taking donations. Is that...
I'm not taking donations. We provide a subscription service. So maybe it's a little bit different.
Yeah, people didn't pay on a subscription could still watch Gene Scott.
How do you know about Gene Scott, by the way?
You always talk about Gene Scott.
Gene Scott was a guy that was a preacher on television. Many of you may know, many of you may not. I don't even want to call him a preacher because he sat in a chair, he smoked cigars. Occasionally he did have some chick that looked like she was right off the set of The Price is Right walking behind him. And am I right or am I wrong about that? It just seems to me that Gene Scott every now and again had like some Price is Right model walking around, you know, showing things like here is a Bible. And he would sit there and smoke these big, fat stogies. And he had a blackboard behind him, and he would write down things. And now, in the book of Leviticus, you can see, and he would write stuff. And then he'd sit back down in his chair.
People love to watch him. I know Frank liked to watch him because Frank thought it was very entertaining.
Well, it was entertaining to a point, but then it got bizarre. He would start to sing. But then who am I to judge? Like I'm saying, I'm not judging the guy. I'm saying, well, here's my opinion of Gene Scott, good, bad, or indifferent. It may be any of those, but the fact is he was popular enough whereby he bought a block of time on local, you know, Christian or bought a block of time during time periods where they had Christian programming or religious programming, and generally Sunday morning, something like that. There was also a channel here in California, and as there are in many locations, that was a 24/7 religious programming, and you would see Scott, you saw TBN, all that stuff. But Gene Scott was way out there, man. He sat there in that chair, puffing on his cigar, talking about this, that, or something else. I don't even, to this day, I don't know what his philosophy of life was, because I would just look at this cat. I couldn't listen to more than 5 minutes of it, and I didn't know what he was talking about. I thought he was like probably a typical right-wing preacher, but then there was a lot of stuff about him that was different.
Well, but the point is, you say he made money, and people love to give him money, but he was saying something of substance, Phil. He was talking about, why are we talking about this, by the way? I want to get into what Glenn Beck is saying.
Well, speaking of Gene Scott, you know.
But you think that Glenn Beck has a, like, he thinks he's Jesus or something?
No, I didn't say that at all, did I?
No, but you're intimating that he's nuts. Okay, there we go. You're intimating he's nuts.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that, like Gene Scott, Glenn has a message, and he imparts that message one-on-one to the audience without any frills or you know, too many bells and whistles. And like Gene Scott, you know, he has a loyal following. And so in my smaller way, I'm nowhere near as big as Glenn or Gene Scott, but in my own small, little, tiny way, people stare at me running my yap, see?
What's that behind you tonight?
What's that behind? I already told you what that is.
Well, maybe the audience wants to know.
Well, we're looking at... the audience tonight is both our radio and our Phil TV audience, but if you're watching Phil TV, that's Hollywood Boulevard. That is going right by the Kodak Theater. You can also see the Guitar Center there. And I think there's a couple of clubs, some theaters there. That's the Promenade. That is the Hollywood Promenade, the Promenade. Right, Margaret?
No, it's just the Promenade. Good God.
Well, you're the one that's always with the, French.
Yeah, you always talk about a French. Now a guy talks French, you don't like it.
Do you have to yell everything? The guy talk about French?
Take it easy, Margaret. You know, the kid's making a good point. You're always talking with the French accent, so I try to lay it on you.
Well, you don't do it very well, Phil. You sound as if you lost part of your tongue.
in a lion taming accident, maybe?
You said it, not me.
Nonetheless, that's what we're looking at. Now, going to our very first story of the evening, it is the Glenn Beck prediction. Now, remember he said, and I think we mentioned this, he said that over the weekend he said he's going to give the federal government till Monday to come clean on the Boston bombing, or he was going to rip the lid off this sucker. He was going to tear the roof off the mother sucker. Glenn Beck says the Boston bombing investigation is a cover-up conspiracy that yesterday he revealed the facts that supposedly support his case. A cover-up can... Now, think about this, folks. This is a conspiracy theorist's wet dream. Glenn Beck, as close to a mainstream commentator as the conspiracy theorists could possibly get. I mean, this guy he's the real deal. Alex Jones is Gollum compared to Glenn Beck. Alex Jones lives under a bridge compared to Glenn Beck, okay? So if you got Alex Jones, you think that guy's some kind of a spokesperson. I bet you Alex Jones is pissed off today because Glenn Beck is stealing the thunder.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point, man. I mean, if I was Alex Jones, I'd be mad.
What? What did you say?
He said if he's Alex Jones, he'd be really upset.
No, you said if I'm
I understood him, but understood him.
Yeah, don't you let you can't speak black?
Excuse me, but that's not even funny.
All right, hold on. Glenn Beck says the Boston bombing investigation's a cover-up. As previously reported by the Inquisiteur, Glenn Beck is alleging a cover-up and conspiracy in the Boston bombing investigation of the case of the Saudi national named Abdul Rahman Ali Arabiya Dugulugu. This is the Saudi that they detained. Was supposedly in violation of Section 212(3)(b) of the Immigration and Nationality Act, citing security and related grounds and terrorist activities. This was the Saudi that was in custody for a brief time shortly after the bombing. And as we said, what's kind of interesting is ever since 9/11, the profile of a terrorist, a, shall we say, jihadist, an Islamist terrorist, is a male ages between the ages of 19 and 33 in the country on a student visa from a terror sponsoring country. Now, Saudi Arabia may not be, quote, a terror sponsoring country, but they've kind of slipped into that category by default because the 9/11 bombers, many of them came from, or the 9/11 terrorists, I should say, came from that country. And sure enough, if you want to, yeah, get technical when it comes to that profile. These two guys, they fit into it like, oh, baby. They had first entered the country, I think, on student visas. Now, one of them was a citizen, but the Saudi, this guy that that Glenn Beck is talking about, this guy, he lines up perfectly. I think he was in the country on a student visa. He is between the ages of 19 and 33. Saudi Arabia may not, as I say, be a terror sponsoring country, but it is now, you know, a hotbed because of 9/11. The Saudi national was cleared of involvement in the bombings, but it was also discovered that his visa to stay in the U.S. had expired, and ICE may be readying to deport him on those grounds. Glenn Beck isn't the only one watching this part of the Boston bombing investigation closely. Congressman Jeff Duncan, Republican of South Carolina, expressed concerns the Saudi national was being deported due to national security concerns. Duncan says, I'm not saying it's related to Boston, but he is being deported. Well, he's being deported because his student visa expired. And this is part of the post-9/11 world we live in. That's the law. Do you understand? Yes, he's being deported. Why don't you read the law there, Mr. Duncan? The law says your ass gets deported. You run afoul of the law. You're not an American citizen. You've run afoul of your the restrictions and strictures and so forth and so on, having to do with visa, passport, and, you know, the Statue of Liberty and the, you know, Pledge of Allegiance. Your ass gets put on the next banana boat back to wherever the hell you came from.
Banana boat.
Take it easy. So it isn't some big weird thing, man. The guy got deported because, oh, isn't that interesting? So you were here and this and that. Yes, sir. Well, I'm sorry, but your ass is gone. Banana boat 3. Take your suitcase. Go ahead. There you go. Banana boat 3. Just get in line there just like you used to for Pirates of the Caribbean.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yay!
Cut. All right, we'll be back with more of this scintillating, fantastically interesting, if you didn't get out of the third grade, story when we come back. the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth
you just
is our
called
bitch.
Glenn Beck a third.
The Phil Hendry Show.
No, I didn't. Glenn's a showman, man. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. That was on our screen here on Phil TV. That was Glenn Beck, and that is a picture of Glenn. And it is a picture of him accompanying an article about the statements he's made concerning the Boston bombing, and that this Saudi national that we all knew was in custody there early on, or was being looked at, or was being questioned, or was, you know, sitting on his ass on a stool somewhere while a bunch of guys in suits and earpieces were talking to him, whatever you want to call it. Yes, he was Saudi Arabian. Yes, he was here on a student visa. Yes, that student visa had expired. One of the things, as I mentioned, to keep in mind is that the prime profile since 9/11 of a suspect or of a possible terrorist. And they don't want to profile all Arab people. And this is one of the things that you can't get through to a lot of folks. Either you got on one side the idiots that think we're profiling everybody, or you got on the other side Glenn Beck and Alex Jones. Where is the love, baby? You know?
Yes. Do you remember the song, Where is the Love That You Gave to Me?
Oh, come on.
Excuse me, if I could reach across you.
Margaret, you can't solve your problems with violence.
Oh, get a load of the beatnik. Wow.
Well, you're wanting to reach across and smack him.
Yeah, every time I do something wrong, all you ever want to do...
You're the one person that I think it would do some good with. You're the one person that if I just balled up a fist...
All right, so that's nice.
What I'm saying is that was a beautiful song by What's-Her-Face, and she was lovely. I forget her name.
Roberta Flack.
Who?
Roberta Flack. Where is the love...
Well, excuse me, Phil, but you're not doing that very well.
Yeah, no, Miss Henry's right. It was Roberta Flack.
Roberta Flack? Who's that?
Roberta! Roberta Flack.
I never heard of her.
Are you kidding? She was one of the top singers of the 70s. She had hit record after hit record.
I gotta agree, Miss Gray. I ain't never heard of her at all.
Who cares what you've heard of? Jesus, bud. The only guy you've ever heard of is Dwight Yoakam, Josh Turner... Who I think you know...
Yeah, I think you got the hots for him.
Shut up!
Anyway. So, what's your point?
Nothing. Go ahead. Read your little story. Read your Glenn Beck fantasy.
Do you agree with him?
I think he may have a point. For the first time in his poor, muddled life, I think Glenn Beck may have a point. It's just too packed. There's too many answers.
Yeah, we wouldn't want that now, would we?
Phil, are you listening to what I... It's just falling together too easy.
Yeah, we can't do that. We can't have things fall together too easy. We got to have things that take time. We got to have things that don't add up. Boy, if we think about it long enough and hard enough, we may put this guy on a banana boat and send his ass back to Chechnya or wherever the hell they're from. And he won't see one day of jail time. Because already I hear that there's some sympathy building. I mean, it's not a real big wave, but can you get a load of this, folks? There's people who have sympathy for this Jokar dude. You know, what you've done doesn't mean, you know, that doesn't make up who you are. What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I don't have sympathy for him so much as I'd like to know who the real person was.
They got him. They got him and they got his brother. They got an admission out of him, which I know they probably beat it out of him, and it's probably a lie, and it's probably coerced, and the real guy's going to be hidden because the government doesn't want anybody to know because Glenn Beck's got a problem with Barack Obama, and that's where that's at. Let me just read to you this story here, and you tell me. There isn't anything here that Mr. Beck offers any, and I say this with all due respect, Glenn, because I know Mr. Beck, I knew him when I had more money than him. That's how long I've known him. But I got to tell you, Glenn, you don't offer anything here other than just statements. You don't offer anything but statements. He says, this Saudi national was supposedly in violation of 212.3b of the Immigration and Nationality Act, citing security and related grounds and terrorist activities. That's not true. The Saudi national was cleared of involvement in the bombings, but it was discovered that his visa was expired. And yes, they probably will deport him because that's what happens when you break the law in the United States of America and you've got no legal grounds to be here and they find your ass and you happen to be involved in, you know, you happen to be in fitting the profile, if you will, of an area of concern for the United States government. They're gonna deport your ass. This guy has not been convicted of a crime. He hasn't been even, there's no evidence connecting him to this. It's a normal course of, it's normal procedure, what I'm trying to tell you.
You're not doing very well. You're going,
yeah, you're all, you know, stumbling and stuff.
Is that it? Is that the only argument you can make?
Is that the only argument? Phil, if you're so sure of yourself, why are you going, it's another guy, and the guy, it's creeping me out. It's weirding me out. It's almost as if you need some kind of an antipsychotic. You know, you go, that.
No, I've heard my brother talks like that, and he makes a lot of sense.
Oh, well, I'll bet he makes a lot of sense to you.
What's that supposed to mean?
Hold on. So Glenn Beck wasn't the only one watching this. It was a congressman named Jeff Duncan who expressed concerns the Saudi national is being deported due to the national security concerns. Duncan says, I'm not saying it's related to Boston, but he is being deported. Yeah, he's being deported because of the visa situation. I don't even think he was technically a person of interest, said Janet Napolitano. He wasn't even a suspect. That was a wash. I'm not aware of any proceeding there. I will clarify for you. But I think this is an example of why it's so important to let law enforcement do their job. Well, that ain't going to happen here because Glenn Beck's on the case. He claims his Boston bombing investigation conspiracy will cause some of his sources to be under threat of a 20-year prison term. So that will explain why nobody is coming forward and agreeing with Glenn because they're under the threat of a 20-year prison term. We don't know at this point how the Saudi national Abdul whatever the hell was involved. Of course you don't know. Of course you don't know. You don't know how he was involved. But I do know he was involved in the Boston bombing. Okay, where's your evidence? Where's your evidence, man? Beck says the Saudi national was once flagged on a terror watch list, but was granted a U.S. student visa anyway, which means as he was coming in, his name popped up, and they said, let's go and talk to you, because you're on a... It's like when your wife, my ex-wife, Maria, her last name was Sanchez. How many times do you think she got pulled out of line? That's a terror watch list. She got pulled out of line for the first probably three or four trips we took, a couple overseas, domestically, pulled out of line all the time. Why? Because of her last name, Sanchez. He claims the Saudi national's deportation under Section 212 indicates proven terrorist activity. No, it does not. You can't cite that. That proves that at all, Glenn. No, it does not. Says it's very difficult to charge someone with this. If it's very difficult to charge someone with it, then how does it... Me, what? It has to be almost certain, and of course it isn't, except in your own hallucination.
That is a terrible thing to say about a former colleague.
I'm not saying literally.
You're saying he's probably got DTs on account he drank one time.
Yeah, Glenn Beck, he drank. You think he's back on?
I'm not going to say that. You know what? That would be easy to say, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be easy to say that Glenn Beck's back drinking again? You could say that, and you could probably get a few people to believe it. You could really malign a man unfairly. I'm not going to go there. I think he's, you know, this is Glenn's trip, man. It's his act. The only problem is, act or no act, it's irresponsible. It's just irresponsible. It's not, I don't think it's, you know.
Well, Phil, you've been on the air talking about how goblins get sucked into jet engines.
Only a jackball would believe something like that. This is the kind of thing whereby only jackballs would believe this, but there are more jackballs that would believe this than would believe that a goblin gets sucked into a jet engine.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Glenn Beck claims President Barack Obama reportedly had a meeting, here we go, with Saudi Foreign Minister Saud and Saudi Ambassador Adel Ad-Jubeer, which led to the Saudi national's fate being changed. Of course. We've got to get Obama involved in this. Obama had this meeting, and suddenly, you know... What does that mean? Send him back to Saudi Arabia? Does it mean that Obama changed somebody's mind? In any event, Beck has got everybody. He's got all the key players lined up in this. He's got John Kerry. He's got Obama. He's got Janet Napolitano. He's got all the boogeymen that the conservatives all love to pile on. And they're all responsible for covering up this Abdul Saeed, whatever the hell this guy's name is. They're all responsible for making sure that that guy doesn't get charged with the Boston bombing, that these hapless individuals, the one of whom is alive, the other is dead, they get charged with it. A couple of Chechnyans by way of the Caucasus Mountains, by way of Taurus Bulba and Alibaba, and the 40 Thieves. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Oh, yeah.
What's Taurus Bulba?
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, Phil Hendry here. Sorry, just lost camera one. Welcome back to the show, 877-876. Phil, take a very quick phone call here, and then I do want to move on to a couple of stories, one of which is having to do with the Osbournes, and another, a Maryland group of Maryland corrections officers aiding in a gang drug scheme. Darren, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. Enjoying your program.
Thank you.
Hey, Glenn Beck has been kind of on the fringe. I think anybody would say that he's been on the fringe for a long time. Would you agree with that?
I don't know if he's on the fringe. I think he's he had some mainstream, big mainstream success when he was at Fox.
Yeah, but the opinions and the attitudes that he expresses, I think, are on the fringe. That's just me, maybe. And you alluded to it a minute ago when you said, well, how would it be if I said that Glenn Beck is drinking again? And I'm going to say this. I think he is. I think there's something wrong with him. I think there's got to be something wrong with him to say that this is suddenly no longer an obvious open and shut case, and they do happen. You do occasionally identify the perpetrators of these horrendous acts, and they do eventually come to justice, even in this case, if one of them was killed. But Glenn Beck, to say that these two guys had nothing to do with it, and instead it's this Saudi that the police themselves have said is clear, I don't know if he is drinking or what his problem is, but that's what I wanted to ask you.
I'm not going to comment on that.
Well, I will comment on... Your name is Darren?
Yes, ma'am.
Darren, I think what he has here is something that is very interesting. I think it needs to be pursued.
So you believe this?
I didn't say I believe it. Excuse me. I didn't say I believe it.
That belch is...
All right, hold on for just a minute.
No, that's all right. I got it.
Okay, he hung up.
I don't care.
All right, well, that was just the guy who was going to talk to you, but as soon as you belched, he hung up.
I don't care.
Go ahead.
Well, now there's no point in... He hung up. So, sir, wherever you are, you've got no courage at all. Because I belched, you hung up? Woo!
Well, yeah, don't we gotta stay on a phone?
Yeah, it's kind of rude.
Well, you know something? I've given dinner parties in 5 separate decades. I've had kings, I've had queens, I've had every kind of person in my home... What are you looking at?
I'm just... What do you mean, kings and queens?
That's right. Kings and queens, royalty in my home.
All right, I didn't know that.
So don't tell me what's polite and what isn't polite. And again, I'm not going to have my esophagus blown in half.
Margaret, I got to tell you, you must have belches that are the most powerful on record.
Can we change the subject, please? I was talking about Glenn Beck when this caller decided he was going to hang up because his girlish feelings got hurt. Glenn Beck may be onto something, and if he's onto something, Margaret Gray is going to be right there to report the story. I'm not letting this one get away.
Yeah, but he...
I'm not letting this one get away, Mumbles.
Well...
Don't call him Mumbles.
What do you want me to call him? Do you want me to call him William F. Buckley?
Well, I think that... Like that man said, he might be drinking.
Who, that man might be drinking?
No, that guy said that Glenn may be. I don't think Glenn's drinking. I just think that it's. Here's what I think.
Oh, God.
Well, excuse me. We just heard your theory. Here's what I think, okay?
Yes, I'm listening, Daddy.
Here's what I think. I think that Glenn, the website that he operates, The Blaze, and I just made the comment to Dan. I said, well, you know Glenn's website, The Blaze, and Dan says, who? What? I said, The Blaze. You certainly have heard of The Blaze. I mean, it was what Glenn left Fox and set up The Blaze. I've never heard of it before. He said, I've never heard of it until now. And I said, well, there you go. I think business is so, it's not bad, but I think he needs something to pop, man. You know, I think he needs something to pop. And look, I know Glenn. I know him from the days at Premier. I know this guy because he used to watch me do my radio show. He used to watch all of the satire. I mean, come on, people. He used to stand there in the studio and watch as we created out of whole cloth these scenarios and had people call in on them. And he would watch this, and then he leaves the studio, right? Now, do you think it's a coincidence?
Now, this is a conspiracy. Now, this is a conspiracy theory.
A what? A conspiracy theory? Oh, my God. I've got to get up and have a bowel movement after that.
Wait a minute.
Don't you laugh at me.
Wait a minute. What do you think about what I'm saying, though?
I think there's merit to it, but I've got to go to the toilet.
You're talking about a conspiracy theory of Glenn Beck, and you did it?
I'm not saying I did it. I said I know Glenn because he used to admire that kind of theater. He used to watch me do it. What was one of the big things he first did when he started National Radio? He did War of the Worlds, right?
Yeah, but I mean, he's got people thinking serious.
This is the difference is between a Glenn Beck and a Jerry Springer and a Phil Henry is I let people know I'm kidding. With Glenn and Jerry and those guys, they want you to think they're serious to the grave, man. To the grave. They don't ever want anybody to know that they're kidding around or that they don't mean it. They don't want anybody to ever know that what it is essentially a kind of theater, Andy Kaufman-esque, if you want, that nobody ever is let in on the joke. No one has ever let in on the fact that it's just bullcrap, man. Now, what I was going to say is The Blaze is Glenn's current business interest, and with the exception of advertising that he does, I haven't heard them break one story. Now, they're supposedly a news site. I haven't heard about those guys breaking one story, not one. I'm sure they're doing great business. In fact, I know they are. They got fantastic subscription rates. They've got a great subscription base, and they're doing well, but it's not like they're making news. Now, all of a sudden, what do you got here? Well, the periodical, the news site that I was reading, is linking to, guess what? The Blaze. They link to the story on Glenn's homepage. They link to the story on his website. Saudi national and former person of interest allegedly speaks. Officials apologized to me and promised me special health care. And there's a picture of him sitting in his hotel room, sitting in his hospital room with a big, fat, crap-eating grin on his face, wearing his green smock, and looking like he just won a car on Wheel of Fortune. So,
well, not really. I'd never seen anybody with a robe.
Did they see a guy win a car on Wheel of Fortune, a green robe? Will you guys give me a break? You know what I'm talking about. So I think that there's a little bit of that and a little bit of this. And again, I will emphasize, for those of you that just don't get it, man, I mean, way back when, I remember Glenn was a guy who was fascinated with the kind of radio theater that we were doing, which was essentially standing talk radio on its head and just saying, oh, it's a big load. And look at all of these people calling in and think it's real. Okay? That was part of the fun. And he liked that. He thought it was cool. He watched it happen. He wanted to do it. Are you kidding me, man? That cat was doing character voices on his show. So all of a sudden now I'm supposed to believe that the dude is laying out the serious. I know it's going to piss people off. I know when I get off the air tonight, there's going to be tweets and there's going to be emails from people telling me what a big fat loser I am and get off of Glenn's back and you'll never be half the man he is. Bah, bah, bah. I get it, man. But the fact is, I know what I know.
I'm back now. What did he say?
You just got done saying that Glenn Beck is, we used to like theater.
Yes, yes, but get to the point.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm here, okay? You want to ask me?
Well, Phil, I wanted to just get a recap.
Here's your recap. Be happy with this. Glenn has always been a fan of radio theater, and he's always been a fan of creating out of whole cloth these scenarios. And I think what he did was he took the kind of satire that we do, and maybe that others do, and he decided, he made one key change. He decided not for it to be obvious as entertainment. He decided to make it a part of a news narrative. He decided to just sort of, for the furtherance of the truth that he believes in, okay? For the furtherance of the truth that Glenn believes in, he has decided to create these myths, to create these mythical narratives, to create these fables, because after all, isn't that what religion does? Isn't that what makes a legend? You know, not all the things that come down to us from antiquity are true. We have a legend. We have snippets of this might have happened, and maybe that happened. We have the story of Jesus. We have a lot of stuff, man. Some of it's true, some of it isn't. We don't know which, but it all kind of makes sense in the modern, in how we interpret it. And so I think in Glenn's mind, he believes that that kind of fable creation, that kind of myth creation, that's all cool if it furthers the truth. And in his brain, the truth is Obama's a crap president, is going to lead the country into the toilet, and he must be stopped.
Well, that is a very serious charge. That's a very serious charge.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Because you can put it under the umbrella of entertainment.
Yeah, that's right. You just tell when a guy says, you're trying to ruin America, and they'll say, oh, well, I'm just being entertainment.
Yeah, that's true, man. I heard a lot of guys do that.
See?
What? Are you trying to tell me that people are out there lying through their teeth, lying like the crawling dogs they are, because they want to have a successful radio show and the future of the country be damned?
Yes. Yes, I am. But although I will say this, I don't believe that that's why Glenn is creating. I don't think in his mind he's lying. In his mind, he's myth-building. He's fable-building. He's creating, as I say, this fantasy that serves the greater good and the greater truth. The greater good and the greater truth is that America is better off with another president who's more conservative. America's better off with conservative presidents. America's better off with small government guys. America's better off with a conservative point of view. America, when we have liberals, they're socialists, it's bad, it's crap, and anything that gets rid of them is good. You know, it's like the end justifying the means.
The what?
The ends justifying the means.
Well, you said end.
Yeah.
What are you agreeing with? You don't even know what she's talking about.
But you said end.
What about it?
That'd probably sound a little obscene.
Yes, when you say end, and then you're not going to like this, but you glanced at my...
Boy, you know what? You need a psychiatrist. You need a psychiatrist more than Glenn Beck.
No, excuse me. No, I do not.
Yes, you do. And also, I think you need to be breathalyzed.
How dare you?
We'll be right back. Get a breathalyzer in here. Call the CHP. I want to have Margaret blow into something.
Well, I got to... Well, never mind.
Oh, that's funny.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Watch
Truth
that, Robert, okay?
He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I got something you can blow into. Ow! You hit me.
Yes.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right. Welcome. Welcome, 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 welcome. Phil Hendry Show, online at philhendryshow.com. Episode 151 of the Classic Podcast has dropped. It's dropped at our website, philhendryshow.com. Episode 151 is Herb Sewell. It's from our Classic archives, and it's Herb Sewell talking with me and you about Michael Jackson. When Michael Jackson was alive, and he was essentially he was speaking up for Michael Jackson, saying, whatever this guy has done, it can't be that bad. Nobody could be as bad as me, said Herb. Nobody could be as bad as me or Walter Belhaven. So check it out, episode 151 of the Classic Phil Hendry Podcast. And I haven't even told Dan this. I did tell my pre-show audience this, and I'm telling you guys, my radio audience, and Dan, I guess I'm telling you. Well, maybe I should tell you before I tell them. I'll tell Dan before I tell them.
What?
What I already told you guys.
Oh, you taking next week off?
Will you shut up, man? I said I was going to tell him myself.
What, are you nuts, man? You said you're going to tell him.
Yeah, I would tell him, not you.
I didn't. I told you.
He already knows, you moron. God, I'm going to...
Hold on, watch it. Well, I guess now you know, Dan. Sorry. taking next week off. And however, the classic podcast will continue to drop, and we will do a live report. That's right. Or at least a semblance of a podcast, a live report from the road for you on our website. So if you don't have a BSP, get one, because you, with the BSP, you are clued in, you're wired in, you're beautiful. You're just, everybody follows you around and wants to buy you drinks. Now, Vanilla Ice, Reverend Run of Run DMC, both of these gentlemen to star in a pair of new reservations, new renovation series on DIY Network. The DIY Television Network is providing a comfortable home for rappers turned renovators. Vanilla Ice Goes Amish will debut on the network this year. Is that the one that you saw, Dan? Dan said he saw a...
I saw Vanilla Ice in Miami buying a pair of shoes. What'd you say, Dan? I saw Vanilla Ice buying a pair of shoes and some underwear.
Big deal!
Oh, my God. Why am I not allowed to strike him?
Take it easy, bud. Shut up.
I'm buying a bumperware.
No, I didn't see him buying bumperware. It was underwear.
I said underwear.
No, you didn't. You said bumperware, something like that. Nonetheless, we know what you meant. So you saw, so what?
Did any of you see Vanilla Ice anywhere?
Well, no.
All right, Robert?
No, I don't, I mean...
Okay, I did. I saw him buying underwear, socks, and whatever comes in a box.
That'd be a jockstrap.
How dare you?
Margaret, you're the one that's bringing up all this intimate stuff. You saw Vanilla Ice buying all this stuff.
Well, no, I didn't see him. I saw his man or whoever they have.
His man?
Yeah, they probably got a guy going to the store about underwear.
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, there was someone there buying it. He had a leather coat and shades, you know.
Okay. How do you know he worked for Vanilla Ice?
Because it was Miami, because he looked... The man inside the limousine was white.
Okay, there's a lot of white guys in Miami.
All of them with black guys with black jackets working for them? I don't think so.
Margaret, you're...
It was Vanilla Ice. Live in it, son. Live in it. Thank you.
All right, it was Vanilla Ice. He was buying underwear and socks. Well, guess what? Now he's going to have to put his underwear on and his socks because he's going to be renovating homes. Well, you know, I'm trying to tie it all in here.
Well, he'll be renovating homes in Amish country, so he won't be in Miami, will he?
No, he won't be in Miami. And that means that he will not be wearing the socks. In any event, Vanilla Ice Goes Amish. He'll debut on the network this year. Network executives Burton Jablin, do you know Burton Jablin?
I've heard of Burton Jablin, and I said to him, did you make that name up? And he said, aren't you sweet? And I said, no, really, did you? And he said, yes, I did. Please don't tell anyone. And I'm not speaking out of school, Robert.
Well, I still told you not to say anything.
Hold on. I'm not speaking out of school because he finally said, well, the cat's out of the bag. Go ahead and tell everyone that I made it up. And I said, why would you select a name like Burton Jablin? And he said, I thought it sounded very hip and Hollywood. And I said, you're kidding. You sound as if you come from a Slavic country with the last name Jablin. And he said, isn't that the thing they throw in the Olympics? And that's what I knew. I was talking to a very undereducated man. Let's call it that.
You thought they call it a javelin?
Yes, it's called a javelin.
No, wait. This is a great story.
It is, isn't it?
You talked to this guy, Burton Jablin.
Yes.
When?
Phil, I'm not going to give you a DNA sample.
All right. But was it recent?
Yes, when they launched the network, they had a press conference.
All right. And this guy, Burton Jablin, admitted to you that that's a made-up name because he thought it sounded Hollywood.
Yes, he thought it sounded very hip and sleek. He liked the idea of a spear traveling through the air.
Yeah, maybe it's hip and sleek if you come from the country of Mumbabo or something like that.
What Mumbabo, man? That ain't even a country, you racist. But hey, watch it. That guy's a racist.
I'm not a racist. It's a city. The only place you're going to sound hip and sleek is where they throw spears already.
They ain't throwing spears down there any more than they are anywhere else.
What about America?
Ever heard of Indians? And yeah, we do throw them in the Olympics, so there you go.
Well, Indians don't throw spears. They use bows and arrows, I thought.
Never mind. Would you just get to the story here?
Well, the fact is, Burton Jablin, I spoke with him.
And this guy said that he changed his name to Jablin because he thought that's what the thing was called that gets thrown in the Olympics.
Yes. And I said to him, Burton, darling, because he was very, very wound up and he was very excited about the network being started, I said, will you sit down and have a glass of ice water? I want to tell you something. And he was saying, well, I got to get going. I said, I understand that, but I need to tell you. The thing they throw in the Olympics is called a javelin. A javelin. And I spelled it out for him. And he said to me, how many other people know this? And
you're kidding.
No, I'm not. No, I am not.
That is a secret?
Yes. And I said, I would imagine a lot of people. And the last words he said to me were, damn it all to hell. And he picked up the glass that had the water in it, threw it across the lawn, and left for his car.
Is that the last you've talked to him?
No, I've talked to him since then, but...
You don't bring it up?
No.
All right, we're going to be right back. That's an interesting story. Burton Jablin, who gave himself that name because he thought that's the thing was you throw it in the Olympics, and he gave Vanilla Ice a show. Hey, whatever works. Phil Henry Show.
Well, that's the point. He did give Vanilla Ice a show.
Yeah, give Vanilla Ice a show, and he doesn't even know it's a javelin you throw.
It's a javelin, not a javelin.
Yeah, that's what I mean, a javelin.
You know your mics are live? Because every time...
Phil Henry.